Christ, what must I do to be saved? I'm not saying necessarily that you entertain that thought now, because many of us are enlightened. But probably sometime in the past, it ran through our mind that, you know, if I could ever get the chance, I hear this and I hear that, if I could ever get the chance to have Jesus Christ right before me in person to ask him that question. I would be glad. In the study today, in the text before us, Acts of the Apostle, chapter 9, from verse 3 to verse 6, Paul had that very privilege, that very chance to find out from Jesus Christ what he should do to be saved. What Jesus Christ commanded Paul to do, it sheds light on and illuminate all of mankind and all those who would ask that question. In fact, the lesson today will further help us to understand how God deals with man today and how he does not. Now, that is important knowledge, even for us who are Christian. That's right. How does God really deal with men and women today? Are there ways that I would like him to deal with me that he just doesn't? That's going to come out in this lesson. And we ask that both Christians and non-Christians learn as much as you can. Because again, the lesson will somewhat address how God, in some of the areas, how God deals with us, and in some ways how he doesn't. It is interesting to know, very important that you take note of this, that in Christ's response to Saul's question, that is verse 6, and I have the passage of Acts of the Apostle chapter 9 ready, because we'll be going there quite often in this study. In verse 6, responding to Paul's question, let us hear verse 6.
And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Wait. The question must be understood. What will you have me to do? What do you want me to do? In that question is also, what must I do to please you? Because Saul by now realized that there is some contention between him and Jesus Christ, that his life was not pleasing to Christ. Jesus Christ had just told him that he was persecuting Christ. That probably puzzled Saul. He didn't know that That is Saul. That is disposition, his attitude towards the church of Christ was his attitude towards Jesus Christ. Saul at that time didn't know that by persecuting the church of Christ, he was persecuting Christ. So he had already realized that his life wasn't pleasing. So he asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? That also includes, what must I do to please you? How can I amend my ways in your sight? In responding to this question, interestingly, notice, Jesus Christ did not ignore the commission which he had given to the church in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. And somebody said, you know, this man is mixed up. Brother Mitchell must be mixed up. We might jump now from Acts of the Apostles chapter 9 to Matthew chapter 28. Yes. Because the very thing. Wait, let me drop this note. Watch here. Jesus Christ, in fact, is not going to answer the question Paul asks. He's going to send an earthly vessel. Brother Mitchell, explain that. You know I'll explain it, but not right now. So, Lord, what will you have me to do? What do you want me to do? You have already explained that I am persecuting you. Please tell me what to do. But in Jesus's directive, we are going to see that Christ's command for the church, to the church to preach, was a part of the answer to Paul. But it would not be given by Jesus Christ, but it would be given by a mere human being, an earthen vessel. Watch here. Not only that Christ's commission to the church, as found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, to go preach or teach and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and Holy Ghost. Not only was not, is that wasn't bypassed. But Jesus Christ did not pause or rather Christ did not bypass the earthen vessel, his local evangelist, whoever that was in that community. And neither did Jesus Christ pause to give Paul, as great as Saul of Tarsus was, Christ did not give him any personal word in respect to how to be saved. Because that's what it's about, you know. The whole confrontation is that Jesus Christ saw in this devil's disciple. In this injurious man, Paul described himself like that. In this man that dislike the church. In this man that sent Christian to jail, in this man that when they were stoning Stephen to death, he asked them to throw their outer garment in his lap. Christ saw in him a man that if this man could be converted to the truth, what a servant he would be. But at this time, he needed to be changed. He needed conversion. But when Jesus Christ confronted him, as important as he was, Jesus Christ did not give him a personal word in respect to how to be saved. Christ did not even tell him, you must believe. Watch here. Jesus Christ sent him to a preacher. From the right hand of majesty as Jesus Christ sat and confronted Saul of Tarsus. You know what I find? In fact, I'll be relating about three cases that you're well aware of. Is that Jesus Christ is speaking to the man right there, both of them is there, you know. In country would I say both of them did it. The man wanted to know what to do to be saved. Jesus Christ, you are right there with the man. Instead of telling the man to go on to this street and the street named this, and you will find this person, just tell the man now. That would never happen. Because it is in God's scheme of things to use an earthly, a purely earthen vessel. We must learn that. Because right here you are learning that there are certain ways in which God is not going to deal with man today. Are you in the audience today and you are waiting for a vision before you become Christian? Don't wait any longer because that will not happen. Are you in the audience today and you are waiting until the Almighty God sent an angel to tell you that it's time for you to give your life to Christ? Don't wait any longer. That will never happen. You know why? If you are going to be saved, God fix it. That you must hear the gospel and have faith in Christ through a fellow human being. It is in the book of 2 Corinthians, is it chapter 4 and verse 7 or 17? Let us have it.
For our light afflictions.
Our light affliction.
Which is but for a moment.
Uh-huh.
Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Uh-huh.
While we look not.
What? Where are you reading? 2 Corinthians? 4:7 or 17?
Oh, this is 17. Oh, so this is 7. Okay. But we have this treasure.
Wait again. Take time, brother. But we
have this treasure in earthen vessels.
What type of vessel?
Earthen vessels.
Ladies and gentlemen, that refers to human being. We are earthen vessels. The Almighty God in his wisdom fix it that if you and I are ever going to be saved, if we are going to have faith in Jesus Christ, if we are going to be enlightened, if we are going to be directed by God's word, we must get it from not heavenly vessel, not an heavenly being, but an
earthen vessel.
Earthen vessel. So wait. May I? Many of you feel that when you get your dream to buy, what you want to buy now? Lotto and pig tree. First time when I heard that, I thought it was pig tree. Truly. You, because you don't know God, you are ignorant. You think it is God give you that dream. No, sir. Never. But remember, to be saved, the Almighty God fix it that you must hear from a H-U-M-A-N, from a human being. That's the way God fix it. And you have just heard it in the book, the passage your brother read, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Eh? Somebody didn't hear it, brother.
Verse 7. But we have this treasure.
We have this treasure. Mr. Mitchell, what does it mean, treasure? The gospel. The gospel of Christ. How God put a plan together to save you and save me. Wait. He did not leave that in the hands of angel. He did not leave that in the hands of the church. The church must preach it. But the church didn't put it together. He did not leave it in the hands of the Pope, thank God, because they would have twist and turn and make it over. But God doesn't want the gospel to be interfered with. What he does?
But we have this treasure in earthen vessel.
He have this treasure in what?
Earthen vessels.
That means a human being. Wait. You forget where we're coming from. We're coming from the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 6, verse 3 through 6, where when Jesus Christ confronted Saul of Tarsus, Saul asked the question, what must I do? Meaning, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to get forgiveness? What must I do to become a child of yours? Jesus Christ was right there with him. But Jesus Christ didn't tell him what to do to be saved. In fact, read the passage a little further.
That the excellency of the power...
No, the one in Acts of the Apostle, chapter 9, and from verse 6 following.
And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
What do you want me to do, Lord?
And the Lord
said... That was said, of course, it's fear to be encountered by Jesus Christ. Wait. There are many of you here waiting for some heavenly person, some heavenly intelligence to come and tell you. You don't want that experience. Truly, you don't. Because it can be frightening. It may give you a heart attack. And you don't want that. The Almighty God wants you to hear the gospel from a fellow human being.
Yeah.
Read on, brother.
What wilt thou have me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto him, Arise.
Get up.
And go into the city.
Wait. Not only tell the man to get up, he must send the man for. Wait, in country we don't say far, we say for. That's right. Get up
and go into the city.
And go into the city.
And it shall be told thee what thou must do.
The question is, you notice every Sunday the baby them preach with me? That's okay. I hope when they grow up they become preachers. That's a girl? okay then. We hope that she will become a teacher of God's word. Yes. Go into the city. My point, brothers, and I'm emphasizing this. I haven't forgotten that I've said it half a dozen times already. Jesus Christ was right there with the man. The man wanted to know what to do to be saved. But Christ didn't tell him. Because that, the telling you how to be saved, is the responsibility of a fellow human being like yourself. That's the way heaven fix it. Read on. Mm-hmm. Go into the city.
Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.
None of you don't have, you know, after the communion, I was to run to the office to pick up one of these. Because I have there, but wait. They might be in here. Those that tie up here, probably these. Wait, brother. I found, no, it's okay. Thank you, Brother Gilbert. Thank you, I found one. Yes. Yes. You know, the brother read, and you might have overlooked a very important word there. Jesus Christ said, go into the city, and it shall be told thee
what thou must do.
We will talk a little more about that word in a few minutes' time, because that is very important. Very important. But ladies and gentlemen, let me continue on this track. Look here. This is one case of a sinner. I want you to get this, both members of the Lord's church and our visiting friends. A man want to know what to do to be saved. Here's another thing. Jesus Christ didn't tell the man, just be sincere and do what look good to you. Because you see, becoming a Christian is not just doing what look good to you. Becoming a Christian, you must embrace the will of Jesus Christ. It's not a guess thing. It's not as you like it or as I like it. So Christ sent him to the preacher. Are we all there? That was Acts 9. But ladies and gentlemen, look here now. Look here. There has never been a case where an heavenly being, that is an intelligent being from heaven, come to earth and tell a man, be it in dream, in vision, or whatever, how to be saved. Never. I want to make that statement, and you all know, if you are here today as a visit and don't know, anything preached from this pulpit, you can come back tonight. We have night service at 6 o'clock, and you can come back and ask questions. Yes, wherever you are seated in the audience, just by the show of your hand, when the opportunity is given, we bring the mic to you for you to ask your question, and we deal with it in a kind way. Because we appreciate your question and response. So anything you want to question from this lesson, be it members or visitors, we encourage you to come back. And if you can't come back, the church's telephone number is right here. You can telephone us to ask your question at any time that is convenient for you. Let me get back to the point now. I've said that there has never been, did you say never, Brother Mitchell? Yes. There has never been a case where an intelligent being from heaven comes down and tell a sinner how to be saved. Never. So look here now. Here we are dealing, should I climb? Well, let me start from down here. We are dealing with Acts chapter 9. That is the conversion of Saul. But let us now step to Acts chapter 8. That's another case. The Ethiopian nobleman. Let us pick up from around verse 26 or 27, somewhere there. Let us pick it up. Let us find it and read for me. Mm-hmm. You are at the right place, it seems.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise.
Get up.
And go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem.
Who said that to the preacher? Philip was a preacher of the gospel. It's an angel who appeared to Philip the preacher, telling Philip the preacher where to go. Why was he sent there, Brother Mitchell? Why was the preacher sent there by the angel? There was a sinner coming from church. Are we all there? There was a sinner who had traveled over 200 miles to go and worship God. A man or a woman that dedicated shouldn't have anything else to do. You'd say, but that man must be a Christian to be traveling that distance. Many of us don't even want to travel 1 mile to go and worship. Huh? The Ethiopian eunuch, and if you don't believe me, go and study. You have the rest of the week. The distance from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. And you will see, this sinner was going there to worship God. But you know what? He was not saved. He was not a child of God, even though he had traveled that far. But the Almighty God knew that this man was sincere. God knew that this man was searching for the truth. God knew that the place he was going to worship, they were not worshiping God correctly. Pick up now, brother.
Arise.
Get up.
And go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went.
That is the preacher, get up. And he went. Read.
And behold, a man of Ethiopia.
When he went, what he saw was a man of an Ethiopian nobleman. In his Mercedes Benz. Brother Mitchell, they didn't have Mercedes Benz. And in his comfortable chariot then. Read on.
A man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians.
Wait, he was the queen of Ethiopia's minister of finance. You don't get bigger than that.
Who had the charge of all her treasure.
That's right. He controlled the wealth, the money. You could also call him the economic minister. A reader.
And had come to Jerusalem.
He had come to Jerusalem.
For to worship.
To worship. Was.
Was returning.
Returning, going back to his country after worshiping God.
And
wait, again, I must emphasize. With all this effort, traveling over 200 miles, the man was still wrongly led. He was not a Christian. But God knew that the man was sincere. Read, brother.
Was returning.
Was returning.
And sitting in his chariot, read. Is
Isaiah the prophet.
Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near.
The Spirit, first it was angel. Now the Spirit said to Philip, that's the Holy Spirit, go close to the chariot and join yourself to it, as if it begged the man a drive. Read.
And join thyself to the chariot, to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest?
Do you understand what you are reading? What a question to ask this high-ranking man. Ladies and gentlemen, many times God is depending on you to hand your boss a track.
Amen.
Because important spiritual religious truth that you know, that owner of the company work doesn't know it, but he needs it, or she needs it. So don't let opportunities pass you when God is depending on you to be more positive and aggressive in reaching others for Jesus Christ.
Understandest thou what thou readest?
Do you understand what you read?
And he said,
How can I?
Except some man should guide me.
Isn't this a wonderful attitude? The man was humble. But I want you to notice, I don't want you to overlook this. How did Philip got the chance to know about this man? He was directed by an angel. May I? When the angel directed Philip, are you all there? The angel knew exactly where the Ethiopian eunuch was. Instead of telling Philip the preacher, get up, go down in the desert and etc. You'll see a man there and etc. Instead of doing, my God, angel, you know where the man is. Just go and teach the man now. That will never happen. Because angel doesn't do that job. It is for an earthen vessel. You need to get that. What I'm saying, because this helps us to understand ways in which God will not deal with us. If you're waiting for God to send some messenger from heaven or in your dream or vision, you will wait until you die in sin and end up in the eternal hell. God wants you to hear the truth from a fellow human being. That's the way he fixes it. Wait. When you hear it from a fellow human being, don't underestimate it. Because if that fellow human being is telling you God's truth, it is as important, as valuable, and as imperative, as unavoidable, as if it comes from the mouth of God himself. So here we have Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 8, where the heavenly being did not do the job of teaching how to be saved, but sent the prospective convert to a fellow human being. Then we come up here at Acts chapter 10. That's another case. Step to it, my brother. That is Cornelius, just find me. I want to pinpoint the verse where he was sent to Peter.
A devout man.
Okay, steps back up.
There was a certain man.
Okay, here again, ladies and gentlemen, and members of the church, and our visiting friends. While I'm relating these incidents of heavenly being directing the prospective convert, directing the man or woman wanting to become a Christian to a preacher or a teacher, is to help you to understand that you must not wait for God to send you a vision or an angel and wake you out of your sleep. No, that will never happen. God in his wisdom fix it, that if you are going to become a child of God, it will be by listening to the gospel from a fellow human being as you are listening to it now. So here is the third case, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. The person under consideration is named Cornelius. Read.
There was a certain man.
There was a certain man.
In Caesarea.
In Caesarea.
Called Cornelius.
Called Cornelius.
A centurion of
he
the band.
He was a top soldier who had at least 100 soldiers under his supervision. A centurion.
Of the band.
Of the band called the Italian band.
A devout man.
Now notice the man's religious credential. The word devout means he was deeply religious. Are we all there? The word is used other places in the Bible. But whenever you read the word devout, it means he's deeply religious. The man was deeply religious.
And one that feared God.
He was a God-fearing man.
With all his house.
With all his house.
Which gave much alms to the people.
He was a benevolent man. He was kind.
And prayed to God always.
He was a praying man. Wait, no, stop now. Did you all know that this man was not a Christian? With all these credentials behind him. You know why? The Almighty God in Christ have some specific things you need to learn and do before God consider you his child. This man didn't know those things. So he was deeply religious, but was not a Christian. He was a kind man, but not a Christian. He was a praying man, but still not a Christian. What else? He had his family respect him, but he was still not a Christian. Read on.
Which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision.
He had a religious experience, but he was still not a Christian because this man did not know the specifics of the gospel. Read on.
Evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord?
You notice that fear encounter between heaven and earth always bring fear. You see, and I'm telling you, if you don't want a heart attack, don't pray for experience like that. Of course, you're not going to have it. But it's not necessarily a good and pleasant experience. Read on.
And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms have come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa. And call for
send
one Simon.
Send men to Joppa and call for one Simon. Simon is a preacher. That's Simon Peter. Wait. Are we all there? Who was speaking to him? Watch here now. And I've been emphasizing this point. The angel was right there speaking to him. Now, the angel going to send him to call for Peter, and Peter would tell him what to do to be saved. But my God, the angel is right there with him. Just tell the man now. Tell them you are there. Go send for this person and he'll tell you. But the angel, to expedite time. The man is right there before you. You are telling him, just tell the man to be saved. You must do this, do that. No, an angel cannot tell him what to do. That's not an angel job. So I'm saying to you, don't wait for an angel to come and give you any message. You know why? All that God wants you to know and how to live, it's in here. And God placed that in the hands of those of us who preach and teach to tell you. When you are told, make sure you respond to it. Oh, do I have time to look on the must? In fact, you know what? I'm going to let that stay. Please come back. Let me hear verse 6 again, brother. Let me hear verse 6 again. Acts chapter 9, verse 6.
And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.
What you must do. I don't want to rush through this. This is why I'm leaving this for next week, Sunday morning, if God is willing. We want to spend a little time next week, Sunday morning, on God's imperatives. You know, oblige, required, compel, mandatory, necessary, obligated. These are some of the words that describe the word must. And what you are going to learn then, are we all there? Is that the same must that govern whatever message would be told to Paul, that same must govern whatever you need to do to be saved. We beg that you come back next week. We will be right in the same passage. But the emphasis then will be on that word that you will read that verse and almost just read and pass over that word must. But it is the powerful word in that passage of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9 and verse 6. If you're here today as a visitor, when you're coming next week, Sunday, bring a visitor with you. They may learn more about the Almighty God and about His will. You learn today that the Almighty God is not going to send an angel to convert you. He's not going to send some heavenly being or send some vision. No. What there is to convert you is already in the gospel. And God placed it in the hands, in the head of the Christian to share it with you and tell you what you must do to become a child of God, to be forgiven. Today, Christ loves you. Wait, I'm not saying going to love you tomorrow. He loves you now. And He wants you to be a child of His. True? When we come back next week, we are going to show you. Again, I mention it, that when Jesus Christ partially responded to Paul's question, what must I do? When he was directed to the preacher going to recapture what Christ taught in the Great Commission. faith, repentance, and baptism. You must submit your life to those conditions. Are you here today? Recognize you are not a Christian. You have not given your life to Jesus Christ. Wait. I'm not saying you are not a member of a church. I'm trying to help you understand that you might be a member of a church, but you are not a Christian. You take the character in Acts 9, the Ethiopian nobleman. He traveled some 200 miles or more to worship, and he was not a Christian. Take the man in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. He was a praying man, but he was not a Christian. He was a giving man, but he was not a Christian. He was a God-fearing man, but he was not a Christian. What I'm saying is that you might be a member of some religious denomination, but still have not been taught Christ's basic truth. Christ sent you here today to learn that there are some specific things in the gospel that must be obeyed before the Almighty God applied the blood of Jesus Christ to your life to cleanse you from sin. Today, if you will respond to Christ in faith, obedience, Jesus Christ will welcome you into his family. And you know what? We are here to help you. We are here to help you if there are questions that you have, if there are clarification need to be made in respect to the lesson, step forward. We will talk with you. But above all, you need Jesus Christ today, because sin against the Almighty God is your worst enemy. But today, Jesus Christ can deal with your sin. As we stand, Christ calls you.